Today on the show, the Anthropocene. Ideas about the age we're living in and where it fits into the geological timeline. And with that in mind, here are three simple steps to finding dinosaurs.
Well, paleontologists, we all use the same formula.
This is Ken Lecavara, the paleontologist we heard earlier in the show.
The first thing is you have to find rocks of the right age.
And since Ken studies dinosaurs of the Cretaceous period,
I'm usually looking for rocks that are, 65, 75 million years old.
Second, they have to be the right kind of rock.
Those rocks have to be sedimentary rocks. You can only make a fossil on a sedimentary rock. You can't have a fossil on a rock that was formed by magma or lava.
And third, get yourself to a place where those rocks are right on the ground below your feet.
So you need to get yourself in a desert, usually, where there aren't too many plants covering up the rocks, but where there's just enough rain to cause erosion that exposes new bones. And you find those three things, rocks of the right age that are sedimentary rocks and that are in a desert, and you get yourself on the ground and you just walk. And you walk until you literally see a dinosaur bone sticking out of the rock.
Wow. So I'm thinking you're going to say, oh, we have this killer app and this laser technology, and we've got this radar equipment, and we go out there with our substation. You're just walking around looking for a bone sticking out.
Yeah, well, that would take all the fun out of it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's exactly what Ken was doing back in 2005. He was walking through the desert in Patagonia in Argentina.
And I saw a portion of the thigh bone sticking out of the ground.
The bone was massive.
2 meters long, so, over 6 feet long.
And Ken immediately knew two things. One, this came from a giant dinosaur.
And I knew that another giant dinosaur hadn't been found in South America within about 35 million years of geological time. And species don't last for that long. So I knew it had to be a new species. I didn't know much about it at that point, but I knew it was a new species of really, really giant dinosaur.
And that dinosaur had a story to tell, a story about the age in which it lived and how far we've come. Ken Lecavara picks up the story in just a minute with more ideas about our human age. I'm Guy Raz, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Guy Raz. And on the show today, ideas about the Anthropocene, a geological epoch defined by human influence on the planet. And we were just hearing the story of a massive dinosaur leg bone that was unearthed by paleontologist Ken Lecavara in South America about 15 years ago. And he knew at the time that he discovered a new species, a species with a story to tell about the vast scope of geological time. Ken picks up the story from the TED stage.
Now, unfortunately, that bone was isolated. We dug and dug and dug, and there wasn't another bone around, but it made us hungry to go back the next year for more. And on the first day of that next field season, I found another 2-meter femur. Only this time, not isolated, this time associated with 145 other bones of a giant plant eater. And after 3 more hard, really brutal field seasons, the giant that lay in this grave, the new species of dinosaur, we would eventually call Dreadnoughtus shrani. Dreadnoughtus was 85 feet from snout to tail. It stood 2.5 stories at the shoulder. And all fleshed out in life, it weighed 65 tons. People ask me sometimes, was Dreadnoughtus bigger than a T-Rex? That's the mass of 8 or 9 T-Rex. Now, after this particular Dreadnoughtus carcass was buried and defleshed by a multitude of bacteria, worms, and insects, its bones underwent a brief metamorphosis, exchanging molecules with the groundwater and becoming more and more like the entombing rock. Meanwhile, Earth history unfolded above. The dinosaurs would reign for another 12 million years before their hegemony was snuffed out in a fiery apocalypse. The continents drifted, the mammals rose, the Ice Age came. And then in East Africa, an unpromising species of ape evolved the odd trick of sentient thought. And in a remarkable diaspora, surpassing even the dinosaurs' record of territorial conquest, they dispersed across the planet, ravishing every ecosystem they encountered. And along the way, inventing culture and metalworking and painting and dance and music and science and rocket ships that would eventually take 12 particularly excellent apes to the surface of the moon. With 7 billion peripatetic Homo sapiens on the planet, it was perhaps inevitable that one of them would eventually trod on the grave of the magnificent Titan buried beneath the badlands of southern Patagonia. I was that ape. And standing there, alone in the desert, it was not lost on me that the chance of any one individual entering the fossil record is vanishingly small. But the Earth is very, very old. And over vast tracts of time, the improbable becomes the probable. That's the magic of the geological record.
That day when you found the first giant thigh bone, and then everything that it led to, I mean, that must have been like the most exciting discovery of your career.
It was. It was. It's a day you won't forget. And you know what I love about paleontology, and this doesn't just have to do with when you find a giant dinosaur, but when you find anything, you pick this thing out of the ground that hasn't seen sunlight in, you know, in this case, in 77 million years, and you realize that you're the first human to ever see this. And then if you find a new species, which I've been lucky enough to, you know, have that experience a few times, you realize that you're the first human to ever know this.
Which kind of makes you wonder. I mean, 65 million years from now, what are paleontologists going to make of our human age today? I mean, what will they think of us? What will remain a mystery to them?
What we will look like in the future record is a marker bed. A marker bed is an event that geologically was essentially instantaneous. Like when that meteor hit at the end of the age of dinosaurs. That's not an age. That's just a single event.
Geologically, that is all we are, a moment. Or to put it another way,
this is a trick that I adapted from Carl Sagan. That
astronomer Carl Sagan used to say that you could take all of Earth's history,
the 4.5 billion years of Earth history, and condense that into a single calendar year with Earth beginning on January 1st. Dinosaurs show up in the second week of December, and they go extinct on Christmas Eve.
Huh.
Our hominid ancestors, they show up on December 31st at about 3:30 in the afternoon.
Wow.
And then humans, our species, Homo sapiens, they show up on December 31st at 11:59 p.m., you know, and so corks are popping, the ball's dropping, people are kissing, and that's when we show up. And, you know, everybody you've ever heard of, everybody you've ever known, every war, every invention has happened on that little tiny piece of dust that occurred at 11:59 on December 31st. So our place in time is really, really small. The bones of Dreadnoughtus lay underground for 77 million years. Who could have imagined that a single species of shrew-like mammal living in the cracks of the dinosaur world would evolve into sentient beings capable of characterizing and understanding the very dinosaurs they must have dreaded? Why study the ancient past? Because it gives us perspective and humility. The dinosaurs died in the world's fifth mass extinction, snuffed out in a cosmic accident through no fault of their own. They didn't see it coming, and they didn't have a choice. We, on the other hand, do have a choice. And the nature of the fossil record tells us that our place on this planet is both precarious and potentially fleeting. Right now, our species is propagating an environmental disaster of geological proportions that is so broad and so severe, it can rightly be called the sixth extinction. Only unlike the dinosaurs, we can see it coming. And unlike the dinosaurs, we can do something about it. That choice is ours. Thank you.
You know, when we talk about geological epochs and periods that lasted for millions of years, the idea of the Anthropocene just as like one of them, it's strange to think about it, right? Because you go to like a natural history museum and you see these species that were just blips in their own epochs. And it's kind of amazing to think about us that way.
Well, humans are unprecedented. There has never been a species that has been able to affect the planet so broadly and so deeply as humans have. But again, you know, whether we you know, in a future museum of natural history, would that be an epic, or would that be, you know, one strange, strange moment in geological past?
Paleontologist Kenneth Lacavara. His entire talk, with some amazing visuals of the Dreadnoughtus, is at TED.com.